Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years of teaching. In our early modules, we have discussed about few areas where the dispute arises, and the major cause that we have found of industrial disputes are basically economic objectives or economic matters wherein there is a conflict between employers and employee. And so after the independence, soon we have realized that the industrial relations are getting deteriorated, and because of this we felt a need of designing some structures wherein we can have some minimum economic benefits which can be provided to the employees, and that is in the form of wages. Immediately after the attainment of independence, the industrial relations situation started deteriorating rapidly. Yes, we can understand that, because just after we had freedom, we were on a greater and a faster industrialization pace, because we realized the need of setting up of industries in our country. Rather, we were just an agro-based country. So we need more industrialization or a faster industrialization. And with this faster industrialization, many industries coming up. At the same time, there was a high rise in the disputes arising between or in the industry. So here we have realized that the major reason of the dispute is always economic in nature. So whenever there are frictions among employee and employer, they are basically because of the wages or the remuneration pattern. So considering this point of view, there was a phenomenal increase in the number of industrial disputes, mostly over wages, leading to a substantial loss of production. And due to this disputes, there were stoppages of work, and due to which the overall production was at stake. And somewhere at that time, we were very sensitive about the economic growth, and this was somewhere impacting the economic growth of a country. Realizing that industrial peace was an essential condition for progress on the industrial as well as economic front, the central government convened in 1947 a tri-party conference consisting of the representatives of employer, laborers and government. So once it was understood that industrial peace is required and is of a greater importance, not only for that particular industry but economic growth or for a overall nation. So central government here in 1947 called upon a conference wherein there were representatives of laborers, there were representative of employers, and of course government took a tri-party consultation or say a conference together to come out of this type of issues happening in the industries. As a result, Government of India declared Industrial Policy Resolution of 1948. So as a result of this conference, after understanding or after better understanding of the areas of disputes, so they have come up with Industrial Policy Resolution of 1948. Wherein in the statement embedded in the resolution, the government included two items which have bearing on wages. So now coming to those resolutions which had impact directly and indirectly on the wages prevailing in the industry. So first was statutory fixation of minimum wages in the sweated industries. So here we are implementing some compulsion on an employer to pay minimum amount of wages for certain types of industries. Depending on different types of industries, this minimum wage system was being implemented, and that is statutory. And also promotion of fair wages agreement in more organized industries. Now fair wages are somewhere over and above the minimum wages. So whenever minimum wages, we are talking about minimum wages, so that is that minimum amount which will be required by the worker to cope up with the living of his and his family, to fulfill his basic requirements of food, clothing and shelter. So minimum wages are somewhere setting a limit for an employer to pay minimum for the survival of the worker and his family. Whereas when we talk about fair wages, they are a bit higher than what we talk about minimum wages. But then your fair wages are decided keeping in view different criteria. That means the economic condition of the country, capability of the organization to pay. So this is over and above the minimum wage. To achieve the first objective of the industrial policy resolution, the Minimum Wage Act 1948 was passed. So now, after the discussions, the government have now realized that there is a need to set up a minimum wage limit, and to implement this, impose this compulsorily to the employers of the industries, they have now passed a Minimum Wage Act 1948. In the recent years in the organized sector, the terms and conditions of employment, including periodic revision of wages and adjustments, have mainly taken place through collective bargaining, providing substantial gains to the working people. So here we are talking about the revision of wages, or say fixation of wages in industry. They come up with collective bargaining. Collective bargaining means the representative of unions, or say workers representative, and the employer or the management representative sit together to decide on the issue. And here the issue we are talking about is fixation or revision of wages. So mostly it was done by collective bargaining. Though the Minimum Wage Act provides for a review of rates of minimum wages at intervals not exceeding 5 years. So once this minimum wage limit based on different types of industries is set, that also needs to be revised. Timely revision has to be done. So here the timely revision, the period what they have given is 5 years. It should not exceed 5 years. That means it is allowed till 5 years, but it should not exceed 5 years. So if the minimum wage, say example, have been set in 2001, it needs to be revised after 5 years, keeping in mind different conditions, that is, demand and supply of the laborers in that particular industry. The type of industry, the growth rate of that particular industry, inflation rate, etc., all are being considered while making any revisions or amendments or deciding or fixation of wages. The actual revisions of wages in some cases have taken place at much longer periods. The implementation of Act leaves much to be desired, particularly in unorganized sector. And to fulfill the second objective mentioned in the industrial policy resolution, the Government of India appointed in 1949 a tri-party committee on fair wages. Now here to implement actively implement a minimum wage or a fair wage in a country, a committee was set up in 1949, who will look after into the criteria of deciding what are fair wages, to determine the principles on which fair wages should be fixed, and to suggest the lines on which this principle should be applied. That means, see, when we are talking about fair wages, a fair wage may be different in our country and that may be different in other country. So prevailing the conditions in the nation, demand and supply of the labor, inflation rate, prices of goods and services, after considering all that, we will come to a conclusion what will be fair wage, and that fair wage which is being decided, or the guidelines which are being provided to decide what is a fair wage, should be applicable to all sectors. This committee for the first time examined in detail the wage concept and their application to Indian conditions, and suggested criteria for wage fixation and a progressive improvement of the wage structure. So talking about wage concepts, so there are various wage theories based on which we determine what is living wage, fair wage and minimum wage. So now this committee for the first time have investigated, found out some information and data based on which and prevailing to the conditions in India, we can decide what will be fair wage or say minimum wage rate which can be made applicable in India. The committee in its report distinguished three levels of wage, that is minimum wage, that we have spoken about, minimum wage is required for basic living condition of any human being. Then is fair wage and then living wage. With the enactment of Industrial Disputes Act 1947, fixation of wages in India has been continuously influenced or determined by the agencies set up by the state. Now here we are talking about some industries which are with the enactment of Industrial Dispute Act 1947 came into existence, that are conciliation officers, conciliation boards, industrial tribunals and national tribunals. So when we talk about this conciliation machinery, that is within the organization or industry. And when we talk about industrial tribunals and national tribunals, they are outside the industry or organization. Wage fixation exercise is most establishment were carried out through adjudication. That is again compulsory binding on both the parties. The high courts and the Supreme Court have also adjudicated upon wage disputes. Pay commission is an administrative system or mechanism that is set up by Government of India to determine the salaries of government employees. So now when we talk about different classes of workers, they are divided into several categories like government employees and then employees who are employed by the private organizations. So as far as government organizations are concerned and their employees are concerned, the pay commission acts as a authority or administrative system or machinery who will look after the fixation of salaries pertaining to the employees working for government or government employees. Every pay commission does its research and then produces its recommendation to the Government of India, with which Government of India accepts or rejects. So the system is somewhat about first collecting the information and data regarding what are the inflation rate, etc., as we have discussed, and this information data which is being collected is further analyzed by this pay commissions, and some recommendations in the revision of salaries is being given by this pay commission to Government of India. But then it is not binding. Government of India may further go through it. If it is found to be reasonable, it will be accepted or it may get rejected and the process will again repeat. Mostly members of pay commissions are some very senior government servants, economists, Supreme Court judges and people from different field. So here all the people or the members of this commission are highly qualified and they do possess high level of skills which are required for such a sensitive area of determination of or revision of salaries. It does its research on market, inflation and hold a lot of financial things to suggest salary changes for a particular time frame. So as we have discussed, the research and information that we have to collect before revision of salaries and wages have to be more investigating in nature. So we talk about all those financial complications that may arise because of this type of change. After independence, the government came out with a 5-year program of legislative and administrative action in the labor field with the intention of framing a policy. So when we talk about legislative, it is designing and implementation of laws. And when we talk about administrative, it is more of implementing such laws and policies in particular states and a nation as a whole. The government intends to reduce poverty by 10% during the latest 12th five-year plan. So the target of reducing poverty is minimum of 10%, which is being stated in the latest 12th five-year plan. The plan aims towards the betterment of the infrastructural projects of the nation, avoiding all types of bottlenecks. Now here when we are talking about some objectives of development of nature, nation in terms of infrastructure. So here a high level of commitment is also required. Why we are talking about this is when we have certain deadlines and when we are looking forward to development, So we need to have dedicated workforce. So here the plan has also, the plan aims towards a betterment of the infrastructural projects. The document presented by the Planning Commission is aimed to attract private investment up to US$1 trillion in the infrastructural growth in the 12th five-year plan, which will also ensure a reduction in the subsidy burden of the government to 1.5% from 2%. So currently it is 2%, it will come down to 1.5% of the GDP. That is gross domestic product. So these are some future plans which are being discussed in the 12th year 5-year plan program. One of the objective of economic planning is the raising of standard of living of the people. So definitely when we are looking forward to develop a nation as a whole, so nation consists and comprises of its people. So unless and until all the people, they don't or their standard of living is not raised, we cannot go towards a more and smooth economic development process. This means that the benefit of planned economic development should be distributed among the different sections of the society. So when the country is growing, it should the growth and the prosperity should be distributed equally irrespective of classes. Therefore, in achieving a socialist pattern of society, the need for proper reward to the working class of the countryman is never overemphasized. A national wage policy thus aims at establishing wages at the highest possible level. So here when we talk about the national wage policy, we are trying our best in this wage policy to determine such a wage structure which would benefit an employee to raise their standard of living. But it is not always possible considering the economic condition of the country. So in case we are not at prosperity and we are at recessions. So in recessions, we may not be able to implement such good plans or the wage structure that we have decided. But it becomes exactly opposite when we are having a prosperity. So during prosperity, we can definitely go and revise, we can think of revising a wage structure which is very positive and which will help the employee to increase or better their standard of living, which the economic condition of the country permit, and ensuring that the wage earners get a fair share of the increased prosperity of the country as a whole, resulting from the economic development. The term wage policy here refers to legislation or government actions. So when we talk about legislation or legislative, that are laws enacted to ensure that these policies are implemented and followed by the employer. Calculated to affect the level of structure of wages or both for the purpose of attaining specific objective of social and economic policy. So through deciding minimum wages or fair wages for an employee, we are not only fulfilling our social objectives of upliftment of the society or standard of living of our workers, but at the same time somewhere our economic objectives are also fulfilled. The main objectives of national wage policy in India are discussed as to eliminate malpractices in the payment of wages. So when we are talking about such legislative policy, we are here to ensure that the employers do not exploit their employees by paying minimum of amount and taking out maximum of work. To set minimum wages for workers whose bargaining position is weak due to the fact that they are not either an unorganized or inefficiently organized. So here again this national wage policy is to ensure that all those workers or the unions who do not have that great bargaining power, who cannot ensure to get a minimum amount of wages after a lot of bargaining with their employers. So here this national policy also helps these type of unions to get at least the minimum amount, which is a right of any employee after providing their services in any organization or industry. Unorganized or inefficiently organized industries, in other words, to reduce wage differential between the organized and unorganized sector. to rationalize inter-occupational, inter-industrial and inter-regional wage differentials in such a way that disparities are reduced in a phased manner. Now here, when we talk about, you know, payment of wages or salaries, there are disparities and we can say there is imbalance when it comes to some type of industries. So in some industries, the workers or the employees are highly paid, and some industries deprive of this type of privileges. So this national policy also looks wherein we can balance such a difference on a regional basis or industrial basis. To ensure reduction of disparities of wages and salaries between the private sector and public sector in a phased manner. So again, when we are talking about the imbalance, we are also talking about imbalance between public sector and private sector. To compensate workers for the raise in the cost of living in such a manner that in the process the ratio of disparity between highest paid and the lowest paid worker is reduced. So when we are talking about, say, raising or revision in wages and salaries, we do this revision or timely revision so that our employees or all workers are able to cope up with the increase in the inflation rate. But at the same time, we need to understand or we need to make a balance between who are highly paid and who are lower paid. So while making the revisions also, we do take care about the people who are highly paid and the people who are paid lowest or at a very reduced rate. To provide for the promotion and growth of trade unions and collective bargaining. So why are we here promoting or motivating, you know, the formation of trade unions? So that the trade unions on their own level can go and do collective bargaining. They can also, you know, sit with the employer, explain them, and you know, they can come to a point of agreement wherein both the parties are happy. In order to achieve the above objectives, under the national wage policy, the following regulations have been adopted by the state. So all that we have discussed, now it's the time to implement that, and for the smoother implementation of that, following regulations have been adopted. That is, prescribing minimum rate of wages, compulsory conciliation and arbitration, wage boards. When we talk about minimum wages, in order to prescribe the minimum wage rate of wages, the Minimum Wage Act 1948 was passed. So in 1948, we have a minimum wage rate which determines the minimum wage amount to be paid to an employee in a certain kind of industries. So minimum wage rate may vary industry to industry. Agriculture worker, again, it is different. The Act empowers the government to fix minimum rate of wage in respect of certain sweated and unorganized employments. It also provides for the review of these wages at intervals not exceeding 5 years, as we have discussed that only establishing minimum wage rate at one point of time will not work after a few years because of the increasing price of the products and services. So it needs to be revised timely, and the maximum time limit for the revision given is 5 years. Compulsory conciliation and arbitration. With the object of providing conciliation and arbitration, the Industrial Dispute Act 1947 was passed. So when we talk about industrial disputes, major disputes are arising because of the economic benefits. So we have some internal and external machineries to sort out this disputes. So there should be a compulsory conciliation and arbitration settlement machinery set up in every industry. And provisions regarding this type of machineries are being mentioned in the Industrial Dispute Act 1947. It provides for the appointment of industrial tribunals and national industrial tribunals for settlement of industrial disputes, including those relating to wages. Now, there are disputes arising. The majority of the disputes are arising because of wages, revision of wages. So these type of machinery which are internally set up to settle the dispute, and at the same time we have industrial tribunals and national tribunals which are also, you know, to look after settlement of disputes arising out of wages. Then wage boards were created. A wage board is a tri-party body with representatives of management and workers. presided over by government. Now, your government along with the employer and employee nominated chairman who can act as an umpire in the event of disagreement among the parties. So, the third party here will intervene only when there is a disagreement between two parties, that is employer and employee. Technically, a wage board can make only recommendations. Since there is no legal sanction for it, but for all practical purpose, they are awards which if made unanimously are considered binding upon employers. So now here the wage board can give recommendations because at this stage they are not having those legislative powers. But then if all the parties unanimously are agreeing to a point, common point, then the points which are being discussed or being decided in the by the wage board will be binding on the employer. The Committee of Fair Wages define three different level of wages. So there are three different levels of wages. One is living wage, then is fair wage, and what we talk about is minimum wage. What is living wage? The living wage, according to the committee, represented the highest level of the wage, which should enable the worker to provide for himself and his family. Not merely the basic essential of food, clothing and shelter, but a measure of frugal comfort including education for children, protection against requirements of essential social needs and a measure of insurance against more important misfortunes including old age. So when we are talking about living wage are considered to be the maximum what can be, you know, provided by the employer. So here the living wage not only takes care of the minimum or the basic requirements of human being, that is food, clothing, shelter, but then over and above they are also taking care of their other needs. Like social needs, security needs, etc. So when we talk about security needs, it's talk about the future. That means we are talking here about old age. Then when we are talking about social needs, say for example weddings and other social events happening in the family, they also are able to spend on those type of activities. They are in a position to spend on their children's education. And also they are in a position to take care of their health in a better manner. So living wage is somewhere considered to be the most attainable wage structure. The committee felt that when such a wage is to be determined, the considerations of national income and the capacity to pay of the industry concerned has to be taken into account. So when we talk about living wage, see for example, if we want to make it compulsory to be paid a living wage to be paid by employer, but this should be practically possible. So to make it practically possible, we need to consider those criterias prevailing in the economy. That is national income of the economy, then the capacity of that particular industry or the organization to pay, etc. The committee was of the opinion that living wage had to be the ultimate goal of or the target. So this is a target that is being set by the committee, that ultimately if we are able to implement this living wage in our country, so all the employees will be definitely very satisfied and will have smooth industrial relations, because there will be a lesser number of disputes when we are offering living wage. Talking about fair wage, the fair wage committee appointed by the government of India has stated earlier drew a distinction between a minimum wage and a living wage and observed that the minimum wage is less than the living wage with regard to the fair wage. The committee recommended that it should be above the minimum wage and below the living wage. So living wage is something we are dreaming about, offering about, and we can find fair wages lying between living wage and minimum wage. So as we have discussed, minimum wage is the minimum amount required by any human being to survive, to have good food, clothing and shelter. And somewhere living wage is the ultimate which will provide an employee with all the benefits. What lies in between is fair wage, that is over and above the minimum wage, so that after fulfilling the basic needs, employee has some extra amount, but not as compared to the living wage. The objective is not merely to determine wages, which are fair in the abstract, but to see that employment at existing level is not only maintained, but if possible, increased. That means not only to restrict any employer till minimum wage, but over and above we can offer fair wage. From this point of view, it will be clear that the level of wages should enable the industry to maintain production with efficiency. The capacity of industry to pay should therefore be assessed by the wage boards in the light of this very important consideration. So now in this case, some industry might be capable of paying this fair wages, but then when we are deciding a wage rate which will be applicable at national level, we need to consider the capacity of the industrialist to pay wages. The fair wage committee also recommended that the fair wages should be related with the productivity of the labor. So it directly relates the wage and the productivity. Talking about minimum wage, the committee was of the view that minimum wage must provide not merely for the bare subsistence of life, but for the preservation of the efficiency of the worker. For this purpose, the minimum wage must also provide for some measure of education, medical requirement and amenities. So here, when we are talking about a minimum wage rate, so the board suggested that a minimum wage rate, whenever it is fixed, it should not only comply with the basic requirements, but over and above, at least the medical requirements and the education requirements should also be fulfilled under the minimum wage.